Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. Antonio Guterres has made an impassioned plea for peace in Ukraine before UN member states as the devastating conflict approaches its first full year. In a speech to the UN General Assembly meeting in special session in New York on Wednesday, the UN chief lent his support to repeated calls by the international community to end the war since Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February 2022.
War is not the solution. War is the problem. People in Ukraine are suffering enormously. Ukrainians, Russians, and people far beyond need peace. And while prospects may look bleak today, we must all work knowing that genuine, lasting peace must be based on the UN Charter and international law. The longer the fighting continues, the more difficult this work will be.
President of the UN General Assembly, Chaba Kurushi, also insisted that military solutions will not end this war. Too many lives, livelihoods, families and communities have been lost, Mr. Kurushi continued, as he urged Russia to end this hell of bloodshed. The General Assembly is meeting to discuss a draft resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire, for Russia to leave Ukraine, and for accountability for serious crimes and justice for all victims. Armed clashes between Israeli soldiers and Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, which left 11 Palestinians dead on Wednesday, have been condemned by the top UN official in the Middle East. Tor Wensland, UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process, said that he was deeply disturbed by the loss of life and the continuing cycle of violence. Witnesses reported explosions and gunfire in Nablus as Israeli forces attempted to round up wanted Palestinian militants. A teenage boy and a 61-year-old man were among the victims killed at the scene. In a statement, Mr. Wensland said that he would continue to engage with all parties to de-escalate the situation. He also urged all sides to refrain from inflaming an already volatile situation. Health news now, and a warning from UN agencies that a woman dies during pregnancy or childbirth every 2 minutes. That worrying finding is linked to new data showing major setbacks for maternal health in many parts of the world, even though many of the problems are preventable. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, maternal deaths have either increased or stagnated nearly everywhere, from 223 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births in 2020, down from 227 in 2015 and 339 in 2000. Unless progress is made on global targets for reducing maternal deaths, the lives of over 1 million more women by 2030 could be at risk, the UN Health Agency warned. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
I'm your host, Mike Cadell. How are you doing today? It's TGIF, Free Thought Friday, today on Radio Free Kansas. I hope you have a weekend to look forward to. The news is not good, as you can tell. Coming up after Democracy Now's headlines.
For radio as secular as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
Did you know that more and more openly non-religious people are winning seats in government at all levels?
Telling us all about that is Georgia School Board member Leonard Pressburg,
president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials.
That's coming up right after this morning's headlines as broadcast on Democracy Now!
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations General Assembly has voted in favor of a resolution condemning Russia over its invasion of Ukraine and demanding Moscow withdraw its forces. Thursday's vote came on the eve of the first anniversary of the war.
The result of the vote is as follows. In favor, 141. Against, 7. Abstentions, 32. Draft resolution A/ES11/L7 is adopted.
China, India, and South Africa were among the 32 nations abstaining from Thursday's vote. China's foreign ministry called for an end to sanctions on Russia and for a negotiated end to the war. Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, said Thursday's vote showed support for Ukraine's resistance to Russian occupation extends beyond powerful Western nations.
This vote defies the argument that Global South does not stand on Ukraine's side, because many countries representing Latin America, Africa, Asia voted in favor today.
In Moscow, President Vladimir Putin pledged Thursday to strengthen Russia's nuclear forces with the deployment of a new generation of intercontinental ballistic missiles. Putin also promised to speed mass production of air and sea-based hypersonic missiles and other conventional weapons. Putin's remarks came 2 days after he said Russia was suspending much of its participation in New START, the last remaining nuclear arms reduction treaty between the U.S. and Russia. President Biden called the move a big mistake. Neither Russia nor the U.S. have signed or ratified the U.N.'s treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. North Korea test-fired 4 long-range cruise missiles Thursday as part of another drill that Pyongyang says demonstrates its ability to counter an attack on the isolated nation. The test came as the U.S. and South Korea carried out a simulated military exercise in Washington, D.C., and a day after the U.S., Japan, and South Korea held a trilateral ballistic missile drill in the Sea of Japan. The war games followed earlier North Korean missile tests on Saturday and Monday. The U.S. will expand its troop presence in Taiwan by more than 4 times, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Pentagon will reportedly send between 100 and 200 more troops to train the Taiwanese military against the threat of a Chinese invasion or blockade of the island. Iran has acknowledged it's enriched uranium to 84% purity for the first time, just below the weapons-grade level of 90%. But an Iranian nuclear official dismissed the idea it's part of a weapons program, saying it's a temporary side effect of producing 60% purity uranium and calling such accusations a conspiracy against Tehran. Israel's far-right Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has already threatened possible military action against Iran. Meanwhile, Germany's expelled 2 Iranian diplomats after an Iranian court sentenced a German-Iranian citizen to death earlier this week. Tehran is accusing journalist Jamshid Shammat, who is also a U.S. resident, plotting a deadly 2008 bombing and other terrorist activities. The Biden administration's released 2 more prisoners from the Guantanamo Naval Base in Cuba. Mohammed and Abdul Rabbani, 2 brothers now in their mid-50s, were repatriated to Pakistan after they were held without charge for 2 decades. The U.S. accused them of providing low-level logistical support to al-Qaeda, but never provided evidence in a court of law. Both brothers say they were tortured at a secret CIA prison in Afghanistan for about 550 days before they were transferred to Guantanamo in 2004. The U.S. continues to imprison 32 men at Guantanamo. Here in New York, representatives from all 193 UN member states are convening in hopes of agreeing on a new treaty to protect the world's oceans and their biodiversity. A round of talks last summer were suspended after participants were unable to reach an agreement on financing, among other issues. Earlier this week, actor and activist Jane Fonda addressed delegates at the UN headquarters.
This treaty that will lay the groundwork for creating 30% of the ocean into marine sanctuaries that cannot be fished in is so important. We have to save these creatures who basically are fighting to save us. They are our strongest allies in the fight against the climate crisis. The ocean is one of our strongest allies.
Nearly 1 million customers in the Midwest were left without power amidst freezing temperatures Thursday as a historic winter storm brought extreme weather to most of the United States. About 75 million people in 29 states have faced winter weather advisories. In California, officials in Los Angeles and surrounding counties issued a rare blizzard warning through Saturday. Meanwhile, many southern states are experiencing record heat. Thursday's high temperature in Washington, D.C. topped 80 degrees Fahrenheit, shattering a 150-year-old record for the date. President Joe Biden has nominated former MasterCard CEO Ajay Banga to lead the World Bank. If approved, Banga would be the first ever Indian American and first Sikh American to lead either the World Bank or the IMF. He previously worked for Nestle, PepsiCo, and Citigroup, and now serves as vice chair at the Wall Street investment firm General Atlantic. The anti-corruption group, the Revolving Door Project, condemned the selection, writing, quote, President Joe Biden and Secretary Yellen have literally named the vice chairman of a rapacious international private equity firm to take his first job ever in public service at nearly the highest level in the world possible. Nothing in Banga's resume inspires confidence that he will turn the World Bank away from a path of neocolonialism and predation by global North corporations upon global South countries, they said. A judge in Texas is expected to issue a ruling as soon as today that could block access to the common abortion medication mifepristone nationwide. Plaintiffs in the case are challenging the Food and Drug Administration's approval of the pill over two decades ago. The move would impact even states like New York and California, where abortion is still legal following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Mifepristone is used in more than half the abortions provided by clinics and physicians in the United States. In January, the FDA announced retail and mail order pharmacies can now sell the abortion pill directly to patients with a prescription. In Florida, a petition seeking to release a pregnant woman from jail argues her fetus is being held in, quote, unlawful and illegal detention, unquote, and being deprived of its due process rights. Natalia Harrell, who's 8 months pregnant and charged with murder, also accuses the jail of endangering the fetus by failing to provide proper prenatal and medical care. The filing argues the fetus, quote, is a person under the Florida Constitution and the United States Constitution. So-called fetal personhood laws have been fundamental in the anti-abortion movement. Reproductive rights advocates say recognizing fetal personhood helps strengthen the criminalization of abortion. A new report by the United Nations finds one person dies during pregnancy or childbirth every 2 minutes, revealing an alarming setback in reproductive health in recent years in nearly all regions of the world. The report tracks these deaths from 2000 to 2020. Europe and North America, as well as Latin America and the Caribbean, had the largest increase of pregnancy or childbirth deaths from 2016 to 2020. But as a whole, these deaths continue to be largely concentrated in the poorest parts of the world and in countries impacted by conflict. In the United States, new research shows childbirth is deadlier for Black families, regardless of their socioeconomic background. Black pregnant people and their babies, even when wealthy, are still twice as likely to die than their white counterparts. Millions of people around the United States will lose their additional disbursement of federal food assistance starting next week, March 1st. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, had increased benefits as part of the emergency response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Households will lose a minimum of $95 a month as families continue to face increased food prices, and data show at least 1 in 8 U.S. kids regularly face hunger. In Los Angeles, Harvey Weinstein was sentenced Thursday to 16 years in prison for rape. The sentence is to be served after his 23-year term stemming from his New York sexual assault conviction, effectively ensuring the one-time Hollywood mogul will spend the rest of his life behind bars. Weinstein's Los Angeles conviction was based on his assault of one survivor, though dozens have accused him of rape and other sexual crimes. Attorney Gloria Allred filed appeals on behalf of two survivors who were denied the right to deliver victim impact statements before the sentencing.
You may say, well, isn't it too late? He was sentenced today. It's never too late to argue or to assert a constitutional right that we think has been violated.
In Chicago, a court sentenced R. Kelly Thursday to 20 years in prison for child sex crimes. But the former R&B star and sexual predator will be able to serve all but 1 year of that sentence concurrently with a previous 30-year term handed down in New York for racketeering and sex trafficking. A victim impact statement read in court Thursday asked for the longest possible sentence for Kelly that was allowed under the law, with the survivor saying she'll be permanently scarred and that, quote, no amount of therapy will make me normal, she said. And in Alabama, hundreds of striking miners could soon return to work at the Warrior Met Coal Company after nearly 2 years spent on picket lines. The president of the United Mine Workers of America recently sent a letter to Warrior Met granting the company an unconditional offer to return to work on March 2nd while the two parties continue to negotiate a new contract. The offer to end the strike came after Warrior Met reported large profits due to the skyrocketing price of coal and after it successfully used replacement workers to keep its mines running. The union called the strike in April of 2021. It's believed to be the longest in the history of Alabama, a so-called right-to-work state with powerful anti-union laws. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report.
This is Mike back again to remind you to support those that support Radio Free Kansas. The mailing address and phone number is listed for our programs in every program description here at the Blog Talk Radio Network. In this case, Freedom From Religion Foundation, today's show, is they have a phone number you can call them. Find out how you can help them. 608-256-8900. Feel free to leave them a message and ask how you can help their organization. Solidarity. Support those who support Radio Free Kansas. Thank you. And now for today's show.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine that. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome to Free Thought Radio and happy end of February.
And I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And this is the February 23rd, 2023 episode of Free Thought Radio, 2/23/2023. Grant Blaschka with Audio for the Arts is our engineer in the Stephen Ohl Friendly Atheist Studio in Free Thought Hall, the national offices of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
And the Freedom From Religion Foundation is a national association of freethinkers, atheists and agnostics. We have over 40,000 members, and we would love to thank you if you are a member and to have you join us if you're not. Get information at ffrf.org and join us in our critical work to keep religion out of government and social policy and to represent the views of the growing number of us, especially in America, who are nuns, N-O-N-E-S, unaffiliated, atheist, agnostics, or nothing in particular. We also represent the non-theistic voice at ffrf.org.
And it's not just in the population. There's a growing number of nuns in government. Did you know that more and more openly non-religious people are winning seats in the government? Today, in the second half of our show, we're going to talk with Leonard Pressburg. He's the president of this new Association of Secular Elected Officials, a nonprofit for elected officials at all levels of government, Leonard will tell us how the group started and what they're doing to promote reason and science in government.
This week on FFRF's Ask an Atheist program, FFRF's Director of Governmental Affairs, Mark Dan, our lobbyist in D.C., and I spoke with Bishop Joseph Tolton. He is founder and president of Interconnected Justice, about the damage that the National Prayer Breakfast is doing and has done to gay rights around the world, especially in Africa.
And during the show, Annie Laurie, you asked Bishop Tolton why opposing the National Prayer Breakfast was a high priority for his organization.
Understanding that there is a global economy of Christianity which has its focus on the oppression of queer people, particularly queer people in the African context, it was a no-brainer for us to be a part of this coalition, because the prayer breakfast had been, up until this point, such a critical component in the infrastructure of the global economy of ultra-conservative, ultra-right Christians who have a political agenda to devalue the life and the possibility and viability of queer people globally.
So his groups were among those religious groups that joined many secular groups in a coalition letter led by FFRF, over 30 groups that wrote members of Congress and Biden, that we think was kind of the final death knell for the family group putting on the National Prayer Breakfast as business as usual. We've talked about the separation that happened. So you can watch that episode of Ask an Atheist on FFRF's YouTube channel. Just look for the Ask an Atheist playlist.
And a new episode of Ask an Atheist airs almost every Wednesday at 12 noon Central on Facebook Live on FFRF's Facebook page, where you can ask questions during the show. You can find it at facebook.com/4FFRF. That's the number 4FFRF.
On our TV show this week, Free Thought Matters, I talk with a 92-year-old feminist atheist author, Barbara G. Walker, who has written many, many books, including the best-selling Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. And she is amazing still at 92, such an ardent, skeptical feminist. It's really a fun interview. During the show, I asked Barbara to tell the story of how she became a skeptic as a little girl.
I was about 6 years old, and a dog that I loved very, very much had died. Our minister came to visit my mother, and I asked him how I would see my dog again in heaven. And he said I would never see my dog in heaven because dogs don't have souls, and God doesn't allow them in heaven. Well, I was overcome. He told me that I would see all my relatives in heaven instead, because they're all human. And I started to cry, and I said, I could trade a couple of aunts and uncles for my dog, can't I? He said, no, that was impossible. So I ran away crying and saying, I don't want to go to heaven. I think God is mean. And I ran away. And my mother, of course, made me come back and apologize. But I didn't apologize except in words. I really was very annoyed about that. And then when I went to Sunday school, I doubted all the things I was told. It didn't make sense.
So you don't want to miss her comments. Gets a lot more radical than that. So you can watch that episode of Free Thought Matters with Barbara G. Walker right now on the Free Thought Matters playlist on FFRF's YouTube channel.
And if you live in one of the 13 major cities where Free Thought Matters is broadcast on local TV, you can watch that show every Sunday morning. We call it the Unsermon. For stations and times, check our website, ffrf.org/freethoughtmatters, or go to the news dropdown and look for it there as well.
Yeah, the show plays right on our website. We Dissent, which it features female attorneys working for state church separation, it's a podcast representing FFRF and, at the moment, American Atheists, has just dropped its newest episode, and this week it's about ministerial exception. And if you want to know what that is, you better go to the podcast. They're going to talk about where it came from, what the Supreme Court has said about this legal doctrine, recount the history of ministerial exception, and break down two major cases about it. So you don't want to miss that legal analysis.
So in the news, our attorneys are very busy policing, watchdog over state church separation. Again, we are complaining to the city of Miami Beach. We complained before about a $72,000 grant to remove an Eruv line. You know, that's that string that the Orthodox Jews use so they can go outside on.
They can encircle areas that they normally wouldn't be able to walk in and stuff.
And so now the city is now proposing a $25,000 grant to a Jewish temple called Temple Moses. And in the proposal, it says it should be used strictly for secular programming and services. But we explain that, you know, money is fungible. So if they're going to give money, they're actually promoting the Jewish religion.
And also, they're not providing any services. This is ridiculous and totally unconstitutional. So we are prepared to sue over it, but we hope that's not going to happen.
But we do have a victory in Ohio.
Yes, we do. And it's a major victory. We stopped a Christian class at an Ohio primary school that was essentially Bible study. It was titled Christian History Class. It was once a week held on school grounds during school hours. They also publicized it on the school's official Facebook page. And we got notified by a concerned parent who had to personally absent their child from this class. This is another suable issue that we were able to stop with a complaint letter. And this goes way back to a 1948 case issued by the Supreme Court that you can't do stuff like this. It's so obvious, and especially with such young and impressionable students. So this was in Leipzig. Leipzig local school district has indicated, the superintendent wrote us, it will no longer offer the Christian history class on campus during the school day. That might bear a little bit more scrutiny, going to do after school.
Was that Sammy Lawrence's?
And that was a victory from the Ann Nicole Gaylord legal fellow, Sammy Lawrence. So it was a big victory. Congratulations, Sammy. And then we just basically this week did a lot of commentary about things international and national. There's been so much news and developments. And we did want to make a comment about this terrible situation about a week and a half ago in which Pakistanis in Punjab, Pakistan, a mob of them dragged a man through the streets. They broke into a police station where Mohammed Waris was being held on suspicion of blasphemy. They dragged him out, beat him to death. They had videotapes of it. They took selfies of themselves killing this man.
And there were children watching?
There were children as young as 10. And it was reported that it was a phony charge anyway, that people are using trumped-up charges of blasphemy to get at relatives. They said that he had loaned money to a family member who didn't want to pay it back, and this guy started a campaign and then got the mob up. I mean, we don't know what happened. If he did commit blasphemy, he was accused of tearing a page from the Quran. Big deal. Obviously, blasphemy is a victimless crime, and it's ridiculous.
And it's tragic.
And it's not. It's partly due to the fact that the parliament just strengthened their blasphemy laws, and this is what happens. And in Punjab, we have seen 580 cases of blasphemy registered by police in Pakistan, and you can end up in life imprisonment or being killed, being executed. And in another area that I guess I don't see see that we have commented on the situation in Afghanistan, and there have been a number of wonderful reports by media, AP, The Washington Post, The New York Times, about the situation with girls in Afghanistan and women, how they have just closed the colleges, they've already closed the high schools. Women are not supposed to be seen because this pleases God. It pleases God to flog and punish, fill the prisons with morality crimes. So we are seeing right what we used to see before 20 years ago, before, you know, we started the war, et cetera. We're seeing the Taliban take over and women are endangered. This is why religion should not be in government.
So in our country, there are similar moves to abolish education. FFRF is deeply concerned about House Resolution 899 proposed by Representative Thomas Massie, a Republican from Kentucky, calling for eliminating the Department of Education. He says, unelected bureaucrats should not be in charge of our children's intellectual and moral development. Of course, this is a dog whistle to religious zealots who want to profit off our tax dollars for their religious schools. So we are watching that carefully and opposing that bill.
We also have a statement. It was actually written for us, unsigned, by Bill Dunn, who does our black collar crimes, about the predatory Baptists returning to business as usual after a report last year about the huge number of violations, sexual abuse violations of children and women by that church. And it's, you must read the editorial because it's very indicting. And then we've also written a letter to, I guess we'll talk about the letter that we've written to Marjorie Taylor Greene and DeSantis in the second half. But we do want to talk about how Governor DeSantis in Florida is misusing the term indoctrination. He says we should have education, not indoctrination. And that sounds like music to our ears, but he's not talking about keeping religion out of schools. He's not talking about keeping black history out. So we have a statement about that on our website under the news link.
And it's especially insulting during
Black History Month. And if you haven't seen our blog yet about the many fabulous black freethinkers, we have that up every February. Please go to that. You can go to our blog at freethoughtnow.org.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with FFRF attorney Ryan Jane about the many state bills that FFRF is tracking, about the shutdown of Missouri Healthcare Sharing Ministries, and our scathing letter, as Annie Laurie said, to Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and George Santos. Then, in the second half of the show, we'll talk with Leonard Pressburg, president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
And we have on the phone with us, because of the snowy, icy weather in Wisconsin, one of our attorneys, Ryan Jane, who is our senior policy counsel, meaning that he's now specializing in legislation and lobbying. And welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
So, you've been very busy, and you wrote a press release this week about the tracking that you are doing on legislation. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So as senior policy counsel, most of what I do this part of the year is focused on state legislation. And this year, there's already just an avalanche of bills for us to try to keep track of. We recently passed the mark of 1,000 bills that we're watching, and it's not even March yet, so that's really crazy.
So I should interject, that's 1,000 bills that were just introduced this year.
That's right. So these are 1,000 currently active bills that we're watching right now, and there's a wide variety of these state church bills, and listeners should make sure that they're following FFRF to keep up to speed on them, sign up for our action alerts if you haven't already. But one trend of bills I'd love to highlight really quickly are bills that expand private school vouchers. These divert money from public schools to private religious schools, and I think they're the single biggest threat to state church separation at the moment. We've written a lot about this topic, and we're working on more right now, but vouchers are something that everyone should educate themselves about and become activists on, because it's a really, really big deal, and it's happening in a lot of states right now.
It takes money away from our public education.
Yes.
It's
directly into the coffers of private religious schools.
So it's really a fifth of the states right now are entertaining pro-voucher legislation to fund religious schools, and two have passed, right? Utah and Iowa.
Yes, that's right. And Illinois is the only state I'm aware of that's considering rolling back their voucher program, which is what all the states, of course, should be doing.
And then, Ryan, we want to talk about some other things, but also high on the list, I'm assuming, are the social issues, abortion rights, and LGBTQ rights, correct?
Absolutely. There's just hundreds of bills on both of those topics. So that's a big portion of what we're tracking.
So, yes, we do these action alerts. If you're a member or you sign up for them, we'll make it so easy for you to contact your state legislator and oppose bad bills. So thank you, Ryan, for all your work on that. Now, let's talk about something good that happened in Missouri.
Yeah, this was good news. So the federal government came in and shut down a healthcare sharing ministry in Missouri recently. And we've been warning folks about HCSMs, healthcare sharing ministries, for a while now. Basically, they're religious companies that market themselves as alternatives to normal health insurance. But the reality is they are just like health insurance, except without the consumer protections that exist in that industry. So the Missouri HCSM, which is called Medical Cost Sharing, had allegedly been collecting premiums for years and then failing to pay for medical bills, basically just pocketing the majority of the money they were taking. And it took years of consumer complaints before the feds finally came in and shut it down. So this is very good news, but it's also a wake-up call that we need new regulations and laws to regulate this industry, and we need to educate people that this is not just a good alternative to insurance. These are actually a predatory, fraudulent scheme.
Yeah, there was an unfortunate exception in Obamacare, so that created this loophole. And so Colorado, for example, passed a good law against this, and we want to thank Jared Huffman, Representative Huffman, who's the co-chair of the Freethought Caucus in Congress, for introducing the Healthcare Transparency Act to try to rein these in. So again, you'll be seeing action alerts on all of this. And then did you want to say something else?
No, I think that's exactly right. And yeah, all the states should look to Colorado and look to that Huffman bill to see what they can do.
And we'll try to be doing more. And then we had some fun this week writing a joint letter to Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and George Santos, because they have co-sponsored H.R. 863. And tell us all about that, Ryan.
Sure. So these two characters are sponsoring this bill that would effectively tried to ban sexually explicit material from public schools. And so we wrote this letter to them, and we pointed out some of the obvious problems with this bill, including that sexually explicit is not easy to define, and it's also clearly not what they actually care about with the bill, but also that if a public school were to actually take this bill seriously, the first book that they would have to remove would be the Bible. In our letter, we included an addendum with dozens of verses of sexually inappropriate and explicit material in the Bible, including my personal favorite, which is Ezekiel 23:20, which I'll let readers Google for themselves.
Well, okay, we'll let them read, but then, you know, I'm going to read the one from Song of Solomon. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. So do those representatives really want children reading that material? So we also quoted Richard Dawkins, who was talking about, you know, the other things that are inappropriate in the Bible, about the God of the Bible. And Dan, you wrote a book based on that Dawkins quote. What did he say?
The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. He's jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a bloodthirsty, vindictive, ethnic cleanser, misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. And
what's your book called again?
God, the most unpleasant character in all fiction.
But you also turned it into a song, a fast one.
Yeah, I haven't recorded that one. But if you want all of those detailed passages, we have a website at FFRF called unpleasantgod.org, and you can look up, for example, genocidal, or you can look up some of the sexually explicit things. And there's a lot of things that we can't even say on this radio show, really, that the Bible talks about, and you wouldn't want children or high schoolers saying these things or even reading these things. It is a very violent and sexually explicit book.
And we also,
these are not the kind of verses that you hear about at Sunday school, I would say.
Right. And we also have the X-rated Bible non-tract up at our website under publications. You can download it, read it for free, and that's basically the addendum that we sent to, as you say, these two characters. Now, I would say it's quite an indictment that the two sponsors of this bill are Marjorie Taylor Greene and George Santos. And it'll be remain to be seen whether they get other co-sponsors. But, O'Brien, we have a little bit of time. I mean, the bill is very mischievous because they don't just talk about banning sexually explicit material, but they would say that it punishes the providers, the publishers of it, that they would withhold federal funds from schools that obtain such material. So you can imagine the mischief that that would create.
Absolutely. And so that's the goal, really. This is it's a book banning bill. This is a chilling bill that they're trying to stop publishers from even offering these books to schools, in addition to punishing schools that that obtained them, is the language in the statute. So even if it was, you know, gifted to the school, if it was donated to the school, just the school having them would run afoul of this law. So it is really pretty frightening, actually. But the good news, of course, is that this federal bill, at least, is extremely unlikely to pass into law.
And of course, Biden would veto it. But still,
right.
It shows what they want to do. And the book banning is a major, major threat. And in fact, I took a $50 donation from one of our members yesterday who's so concerned about book banning.
Thank you,
yeah,
Ryan.
At the state level, it's a huge deal, too. My pleasure, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work. So we have to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk with the president of this new group called the Association of Secular Elected Officials. His name is Leonard Pressburg, and he has a lot to say about science and reason replacing dogma in our government. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Don Argel, a life member of FFRF and promoter of Real Wellness Lifestyles. I'm no longer willing to say, in God I trust, so help me God, God bless America, or pretend America is more under a God than any other nation. Join the resistance to Christian nationalism and politicians more attentive to what they think God wants than the needs of their constituents. Let's make separation of church and state a reality and turn back the drift to theocracy. Support FFRF. Our freedom really does depend on freethinkers.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. Our guest today is Leonard Pressburg. He's the founder and president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials. Imagine that. He has been a member of the Fayette County, Georgia School Board for more than a decade. He's a former chair of the Fayette Democratic Committee. He got a BA from Oberlin College and a JD magna cum laude from University of Richmond. He's a former preschool teacher. And he currently serves as the CFO for the Women's Medical Center.
Leonard Pressburg has served as a coach and volunteer in various nonprofits. Currently, he serves on the boards of the Red Clay Storytelling Festival and Fayette Votes. Leonard and his wife, Elizabeth, have three children and live in Fayetteville, Georgia. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Leonard.
Well, thank you so much. It's so good to be there.
And we should say that we saw you in Washington, D.C. at the Secular Coalition for America meeting where all of the groups get together, because this newish group that you started, the Association of Secular Elected Officials, is now a formal part of the Secular Coalition.
Yeah, the 21st member. That was nice to see you, Leonard.
It was great to see everybody in person and get to meet all the leadership of all the different groups and get to meet both of you.
So tell us about the association. It's a couple years old now. Why did you start it and what is it all about?
So I started it basically out of a couple things. One, my own experiences going through being in elected office and running for office as a secular person, and kind of, you know, wondering what other people's experience with that was. And also, as you know, as we see the number of nuns increase in our population and the sort of increased importance of the secular vote, I just felt like now was a good time to kind of get people organized and focused on electing secular officials who believe in good government and science and reason-based decision-making, partly to combat you know, the growing Christian nationalist threat as well. So it's just a whole bunch of things all coming together at once. A lot of our work is sort of based on some of the stuff that Ron Millar has done at the Center for Freethought Equality, particularly around trying to identify state legislators around the country who share secular values or identify as secular. But most of the officials we know about these days are, you know, people who have self-identified or sought us out. And we know there's a whole lot more of us out there than we know about right now.
Yeah, Ron Millar has done trailblazing work. And when you say nuns, I should add, of course, we spell it N-O-N-E, not N-U-N.
As in, as in none of the above when it comes to religion.
The nuns who are non-religious are greatly overtaking the nuns who are Catholic.
I see on your website you have members all over the country, and at all levels of government, everything from the federal government down to, tell us, what levels of government do you have members?
So our members are anyone who holds elected office at any level across the country who identifies, and, you know, I use the word nuns, we use the word secular, atheist, humanist. There's a lot of different sort of labels that people use. And so at the congressional level, there's only one congressperson out of the 535 who identifies publicly as such. And then we have about...
And that's Jared Huffman?
And that's Jared Huffman of California. You know, there are about 20 members of the federal congressional free thought caucus. So people who, you know, use some sort of religious wording to identify themselves, but believe in the separation of church and state and, you know, good government based on science and reason. At the state level, we know probably about 70 individuals across the country that serve in state legislatures from all sorts of different states. From, you know, we have people in red states and blue states. It varies. There's people all over. And then, you know, we know of, you know, some county and city officials, school board members, mayors, that sort of thing. But there hasn't really been any organized effort to reach out and identify people at that level as of yet.
So Leonard, your website has a list of over 100 elected officials from 32 states who identify with the humanist and atheist community. And you say you want to hear from them. They have to fill out a form. So are all the people that are listed on your website people who've actually filled out the form to self-identify? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're not
right.
You're not outing anybody.
Correct.
And then, so
yeah,
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamie Raskin, who of course is co-chair with Jared Huffman and does identify as emphatically Jewish. Did he fill out a form?
No.
Okay, so he was just added as a bonus.
Huh.
But you know.
Well, he's a member of the of the Free Thought Caucus.
Yeah.
But
okay. So, and I should say that our representative here in Madison, Wisconsin, Mark Pocan, spoke to our group and started it by saying, I want you to know that I'm one of you. So actually, I think he is publicly identified, so maybe we can poke him a little bit and get him to fill out that form.
Yeah, get him to
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
So what's the problem here? Why is it such a problem to be in a secular government, a secular elected official? What are the issues you and your people are dealing with?
So it's a host of different things, and it does depend on where you are in the country, how religious is that area. Certainly in places like where I live, historically have been very religious communities, and there's, I think, a particular bias, particularly when people hear the word atheist, that in politics has been sort of, traditionally a big taboo. In many states for a long time, it was even, in fact, against the law or unconstitutional in that state for an atheist to run for public office. So,
and we do actually. There are four states that still keep that language, but it's not enforced, and it's hard to get it. You have to be.
It can't be enforced.
You have to be denied running for office in order to have injury to sue. So that makes it hard, but it's not enforced. But that shows the prejudice, and also, of course, there's the famous Gallup poll that only till recent years has said that a slim majority of people would consider voting for an atheist or agnostic for president or vice president. And that's finally changing a little bit.
Correct. So it sort of has been, this taboo, as we see the number of people who identify as none of the above increase, I think, it's a situation where more and more people perhaps are willing to, publicly identify with being atheist or non-religious, whereas before it was just easier to put a label on something that was kind of meaningless. So, it's pretty easy to pretend if you think that it's going to be a problem.
So we are talking with Leonard Pressburg, founder and president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials. And Leonard, when we come back, I would like to ask you a little bit more about the creation of more Free Thought caucuses or secular caucuses at the state level. And I know there are two, so we want to hear more about that. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And we're continuing our conversation with Leonard Pressburg. He's in Georgia. He's the founder and president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials. He's been telling us about elected officials at all levels of government and encouraging others to join to promote reason and science. So Leonard, I want to ask you, were you raised religious, or what is your story?
Yes, sir. My story is I was brought up in a conservative Jewish family as a child, regularly attended synagogue and religious school, and had a bar mitzvah. But I would say that I don't think it, I can't really remember a time where I sort of felt like a religious person. And so, you know, there were lots of rituals and things we did as a family, but as far as gaining meaning or believing in any particular parts of the story, I don't remember, you know, at some point changing from being religious to non-religious. I just was never that way.
Well, so you are backing up the statement by another person who was born into a Jewish family, Ernestine L. Rose, early feminist in Poland, whose father was a rabbi. And she wrote a defense of atheism in which she postulated in about 1860, everybody is born an atheist. That's what she said. So she came to, you know, to our country and started lobbying for women's rights and made a big difference for women in our country. But anyway, and a famous atheist. So Leonard, so I imagine that the different members of the Association of Elected Secular Officials have such a variety of stories. Many of them would have been brought up in religion, or some of them not. But today they are openly not religious. And that is a very cool development. And I also think it's very cool that there are now two state caucuses. And we know that one of them, we've interviewed people from both of them on Free Thought Radio, and one of them is Sherry Detsy, who's your board member, who's a New Hampshire state rep. And then there is a new secular caucus in Minnesota. So is this a development that the association has as a goal?
It certainly is. I think, you know, modeled after the federal Free Thought Caucus, you know, we're looking to organize, you know, people at the state level around these issues of church-state separation and around these issues of, you know, keeping individual religious beliefs out of the policymaking process. And as we see sort of this Christian nationalism threat where, you know, it's sort of becoming obvious in a whole bunch of different policy areas that there's, you know, one particular religious agenda coming through, you know, we're trying to combat that everywhere we can with the formation of these caucuses. These caucuses are also a way that, you know, members of the atheist and non-religious community can work together with members of the religious community on shared values and shared policy issues. Because I think for so long, people have associated the word atheist with sort of being militantly anti-religion and mean and nasty. I think that was a little bit the public face of atheism for a little while. You know, this is a way to show that, you know, we really have a lot of the same values and policy ideas and can work together to keep, you know, in our secular society, you know, we can only all get to all these different religious people can really only interact in a secular public sphere. So,
yeah, well, that is borne by the fact that of the 16 current members of the Congressional Free Thought Caucus, there's only one the co-founder, Jared Huffman, who's actually identifying as non-religious, and yet all of these varied people, there's Buddhist, there's, I think, Hindu, there's Muslim now, and of course Christian, who, and Catholic, who say they want to help to make sure that freethinkers have rights as well as other religious people, and working for separation of church and state. I mean, it's really gratifying, and I think very, I think that they owe us this. You know, this is a secular country, and they've taken an oath to defend our secular constitution, but it's wonderful to see them speak out for separation of church and state.
And also basing policy on reason and science, and then resisting the religious right bills that are trying to drag our country back.
Yeah, and showing that as religious people, or at least identified as religious people, that there's no conflict of interest there. And the same thing with the Minnesota Secular Caucus. I think a co-founder of it is Mike is an agnostic, but one of his primary co-founders is, and I can't remember if he's father, son of a minister, but is identified as very religious.
I think, yes, it was that Minnesota Freethought Caucus was intentionally co-founded by, you know, the co-founders were religious people and non-religious people.
Right. And so just because you're part of the Freethought Caucus doesn't mean you're a freethinker. It means you're supporting freethought values as well as secular, secular values. So, yeah, so it's very, very gratifying to see this. And have you ever done a poll, or is that something you might do with your members to see what their problems are, what their main issues are, how they need to be supported?
So, we are constantly, trying to communicate with our members. We haven't done any formal polling, but we do try to keep in touch with people and amplify the individual work they're doing and try to connect people. I know I've connected people in several different states recently how to give a secular invocation at the beginning. Most state legislatures, when they meet, when they gavel into session, have a prayer. And so, being able to do that, a non-religious invocation instead and things like that. So, a lot of stuff kind of behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, so Juan Mendez, we gave him our Emperor Has No Clothes Award, I think maybe about 8 years ago when he was first in the Arizona State House, and gave a secular invocation and got so much flack, and then they had to do a religious one. And now he's in the Arizona Senate, and his wife, Athena Salmon, is in the House, and she's another atheist. So,
she had a similar experience.
Right.
Where they have to undo the secular one.
Right. And this seems to be something that's a chronic issue. But so there's a lot of brave people there, and they are showing that they are popular. They're getting elected. This isn't standing in the way of being an elected official. And of course, then they're also helping to represent us as they should, because when you look at the composition of Congress, there was just a study showing that 88% identify as Christian. And it's only about 67% of the nation is Christian, so they're way overrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about time.
Yes, it is. It is definitely time.
So I wanted to ask you have members who are in the government, but you also have associate membership. Can any of our listeners get involved or help you out in any way?
Certainly can. Any listener can certainly sign up and be on our mailing list and see what it is we're doing. One of the things we talked about, trying to, find the people who are out there who haven't, self-connected with the secular movement in any way. So we're trying to go to places where elected officials are, like a national school board conference, those kind of things. So we are certainly always appreciative of financial support to be able to table and find elected officials at events like that. Connecting the secular officials that you know about with our organization. So if you know that your local officials our members of this group, make sure they're connected with us and getting our information and being able to participate in our resources and connect with us.
We'll definitely do that because we know some people at the local level that aren't on your list. So
thank you, Leonard Pressburg. We're out of time. What is your website?
secularofficials.org.
Thank you so much, Leonard Pressburg, the president of the Association of Secular Elected Officials. And
it's been my pleasure.
We also want to thank our listeners in Philadelphia, New Jersey to WOOM and in Bryn Mawr to WZML. In Madison, Wisconsin to WMUU, WIDE, in Janesville, Wisconsin to WADR, in College Station, Texas, KEOS, San Marcos, Texas, KZSM, Columbia, Missouri, KOPN, Eugene, Oregon, KEPW, Vermont, New Hampshire, WOOL, Kingston, Rhode Island, WRIU, Ithaca, New York, and Watkins Glen, WRFI. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, give us a thumbs up on your podcast provider. Find out more about Freethought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
Yes, you can ask for more information about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org and support us, Freethought Radio, and all our state church activism and Freethought activism by becoming a member. You can get more information, again, at ffrf.org. You can ask for a sample of our newspaper, Freethought Today. We invite you to tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.